Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatra Deva Sutapaso Viraja Amrita Prabha Tesham Virochana Suto Bali Indra Bhavishyati Tatra Deva Sutapaso Viraja Amrita Prabha Tesham Virochana Suto Bali Indro Bhavishyati Tatra Deva Sutapaso Viraja Amrita Prabha Tesham Virochana Suto Bali Indro Bhavishyati Tatra Deva Sutapaso Viraja Amrita Prabha Tesham Virochana Suto Bali Indro Bhavishyati
Virajas and the Amrita Prabhas. The king of the demigods Indra will be Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana. Next 13. Datemam Yachamanaya Vishnaveya Paratrayam Rara Indra Paramitva Tatasinim Vapsyati. Bali Maharaj gave a gift of 3 paces of land to Lord Vishnu. And because of this charity, he lost all the 3 worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Bhagavad Gita 7.3 is stated, Manushyanam sahasyeshu kasya jadvisidaye. Out of many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. This success is explained here. Rara Indra Param Hitva Tata Sidim Avasyati. Siddhi consists of achieving the favor of Lord Vishnu, not the yoga cities. The yoga cities are Nima, Lagima, Mahima, Prapti, Prakamya, Ishitva, Vashitva, and Kamya Vashayita are temporary. The ultimate city is to achieve the favor of Lord Vishnu. Translation, with great affection, the personality of God bound Bali and then installed him in the kingdom of Suttala, which is more opulent than the heavenly planets. Maharaj Bali now resides on that planet, is more comfortably situated than Indra. Tatra Deva Sutapaso Viraja Amrita Prabha Tesham Virochana Suto Bali Indro Bhavishyati. In the period of the 8th Manu, among the demigods will be the Sutapas, the Virajas, the Amrita Prabhas. The king of the demigods Indra will be Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana. So, in this particular chapter, we learn of the Manus and the particular hierarchy of the heavenly planets, the system that is in existence there, and how we actually fit in to all these different arrangements. There are many different demigods, but we know that there are different posts as far as demigods. Indra, for example, one can become the Indra, One can become the Vayu, one can become the Manu, one can become the Brahma. Different jivas attain these positions by their pious activities, and the reactions of those pious activities may be elevated to higher planetary systems. Here it is mentioned, in yesterday's verse, or the day before, there was mention of the Manu, which is who is ruling. Manu who is ruling now, and we are living in a particular Manu, and that is the Vaivashvata Manu. Present reign is that of the Vaivashvata Manu. We are now in the 28th yuga of the Vaivashvata Manu. So I think Prabhupada was explaining in the beginning of this chapter all the different Manus and how long they reign for, how long they live. All the different Manus and the different Manvanta avatar. Along with the Manus, there are different avatars or incarnations. We know there are listed in Bhagavad Gita, of course, we know there are the six types of avatar. Manvanta avatar is one avatar. So just as there's 14 Manus, there are 14 Manvanta avatar, incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appear, and I think there was a list of at least some of those given in Prabhupada's summary of the chapter, beginning of the chapter, the 14 Manvantara, Yajna, Vibhu, Satyasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajit, Vamana, Sarvabhauma, Rishachena, Dharma Kshetra, Sudama, Yogeshwara, Brihadmanu. These are the different incarnations that appear along with the Manus. They incarnate. They assist in the rule of the Manu. Some of them are Leela avatars. Some of them are Yuga avatars. In that list of avatars, excuse me. In the list of avatars, Manvanta avatars, some perform other functions, as I said, as Leela, as the Yuga, and so on. We know there are, along with Manvanta avatar, there are Yuga avatars. Would anyone know who the Yuga avatars are? Like the Chris? And what are the Yuga avatars? The avatar, the incarnations that appear in every yuga. What's a yuga? Vidya Gyan. What's your meaning? One yuga is like the Kali Yuga, so on. So we have four yugas and four cycles of yugas. So in every yuga, there's a yuga avatar, and generally the yuga avatar, he gives the yuga dharma. The Yuga Dharma. Who knows what is the Yuga Dharma? Yes, madam. No, but what is generally what is Yuga Dharma?
The means of self-realization.
So in the Satya Yuga, the Lord appeared in, as Yuga Avatar. Anyone know who the Yuga Avatar for Satya Yuga? The Yuga Avatar. He's described as being white, but he's not considered the Yuga avatar. He gave the Sankhya philosophy, but there's another Yuga. This is described, I think, in the 12th canon or 11th canon. Yuga avatar. The Lord appears in a white form with four arms, but he appears as like a brahmachari. And he holds a prayer bead, sacred thread. He's like a brahmachari, and he introduces the self-realization process of meditation. Sorry? He's given different names about that. He is known as either Vaikuntha or Hamsa. Actually, description there. I think it's 11th canto. all the different yuga avatars and their different names. So sometimes he's called Hamsa. So Vaikuntha. And in the next age, the yuga avatar, who knows what who the yuga avatar was in the Satya, the Treta.
He's red.
He's red in colour, he's red complexion, forearm form of the Lord again, come in the Treta Yuga. Huh?
Narayan.
No? No, forearm form, and he comes and he introduces the Yajna. He has the symbols of, the ladle and the all the paraphernalia for doing Yajnas. So the method of self-realization is performance of yajna, and the mantra is required for performing yajna. Sometimes he's called yajna, Lord Yajna. He has many different names also. Sometimes yajna. In the Satya Yuga, he was known as Vaikuntha or Hamsa. In the Treta, he was known as yajna. Actually, it's mentioned that he is also known as Pushnigarbha in that particular age. His name is Pushnigarbha. Pushnigarbha is also known as Yajna. He's also known as Pushnigarbha. So who would that be? Pushnigarbha. Pushnigarbha to Pushni and Sutapa means that formerly Vasudeva and Devaki in their former lives. Pendra was another. But anyway, so he appeared as Pushnigarbha like that. So different, and he established that the yajna were the principal means of the self-realization. Of course, in this last Dwapara Yuga, we know who came as the Yuga avatar. Dwapara Yuga. Who came? Krishna. Krishna. And in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya. So these are yuga avatars. And we have what other types of avatar? We said the Manvanta avatar, the yuga avatar, and what other avatars are there in different types of incarnations? Who can say? Leela avatar. Who's an example of Leela avatar? Lord Ram, Leela avatar. And what's Leela avatar mean? Many different pastimes. Lord Ramchandra. Actually, they said that Lord Krishna, all the different types of avatar come in the body of Krishna. In other words, Manvanta avatar, Leela avatar, and Yuga avatar, all the different types are all there in the form of Krishna. When Krishna comes, all the avatars are there. So Krishna is Leela avatar, he's Yuga avatar, and Manvanta avatar. He's all the avatars combined together. So another Leela avatar, Lord Varaha, yes, Lord Korma, Lord Nisringadev, all the Leela avatar. A Leela avatar, Yuga avatar, Manvanta avatar, what is another type of avatar? Guna avatar. I think you said Guna. Okay, who are the Guna avatars?
Shiva.
Lord Shiva. He is in charge of the which Guna? Tamaguna. And who else? Lord Brahma. He's in charge of Rajaguna. And Vishnu, in charge of the Sattvaguna. Guna avatar, Manvanta avatar, Leela avatar, Yuga avatar. What other types of avatar? There are six listed actually. Shaktivesh avatar. Who is a Shaktivesh avatar? There are different types of Shaktivesh avatar actually. Some are what's called Bhagavadashesha, and they're divine. They assimilate the power. Some are divine Shaktivesh. Some are Jiva Shaktivesh. What is Shaktivesh? Shakti. What is the Shakti? Power. Shaktivesh. Empowered. Empowered. You have the power. It is not ordinary power, not mundane power. It's spiritual power. And where do you get the power from? Krishna. It's very good. I'm going to wake all you people up here today. I know you all came in here, sit down, and that's it. A different class today. Tables are turned. Yeah, so there's different types. Some are actually of the level of Vishnu. Some are the level of Vishnu, and some are on the level of Jiva, as far as Shakti Vishavatar. Some are like the Kumara. Kumara have got a certain type of Shakti Visha. They're like empowered Jnana, to deliver Jnana. Others are to deliver other things. Yeah. So all these different Shakti Visha avatar, Jiva and Vishnu, Anantasesha is considered a Shakti Visha avatar also in one sense. He is empowered in the destruction. He is divine Shakti Visha. There are different levels. So Shakti Visha empowered, and so we have Shakti Visha, Leela, Guna, and.
Not the Shakti
Avatar. Sorry?
But
Shakti Avatar,
I've heard different stories about
Lord
Buddha.
Mm.
I heard he was
Jivatapa,
and also heard he was Vishnu.
Mm. In different days of Brahma, he appeared. One day of Brahma, he appeared as Vishnu. He was Lord expanded as Lord Buddha. And another day of Brahma, he came as a Jiva, was empowered to be Lord Buddha, to establish that Ahimsa philosophy. So the different day, different kalpas of Lord Brahma. One kalpa of Lord Brahma, different incarnations. It's like we have this, how many manus in the day of Lord Brahma? 14. 14. And each manu lives for millions of years. 71 cycles of the yugas. So it's 4,320,000 multiplied by 71. That's how long Earth years. That's how long a manu lives for. So that's a long time. So this is in the day of Brahma, and then so many Manvanta avatar, so many Leela avatar come in that day of Brahma, and so many different living entities take the forest of manu, and we've been reading about all the different. Personalities who take the post of Manu. I think now is the Manu is, or rather the Manu is Ravishvata Manu. He is the one of the Sharadeva, right? Sharadeva, the son of Vivishwan, is the Manu that we're living now. The 28th Yuga, so the 28th cycle. The Manu reigns for 71 Yugas, so now we're in the 28th. How many years is that, Dr. Chris? 4,320,000 times 28. Come on, who's your mathematician? Since you're on, she has studied mathematics, I think. Mm-hmm. You need a calculator, right? Whatever it is. So now we're living in the 20th, and once in the 28th, they said once in the day of Brahma, Krishna appears. He doesn't appear in every cycle of the yugas. Krishna is rare, or Chaitanya is rare. Generally, there are other yuga avatars for the Dwapara Yuga. Generally, actually, it is Satya, Dwapara, Treta, and Kali. And Treta and Dwapara switched around with Krishna. Treta means three, Dwapara means two. So now it's Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. But normally it's Satya, Dwapara, Treta, Kali. So there are other yuga avatars who come instead of Krishna, and another one comes. Although he is actually given as the same sort of complexion as Krishna. He's known by different various names also. Now Krishna appears in the 28th cycle of the yugas of the which manu? The 7th manu. Now we're in the 7th manu of the 14 manus. So therefore it's calculated that right now we're halfway in Lord Brahma's day, isn't it? Must be around about halfway. And I think also Lord Brahma is about halfway through his life, this particular Lord Brahma. He's around 50-51.
Of his years.
And of course 50-51 of his years is a lot of our years. Trillions. I think he says in the Gita it mentions, Prabhupada mentions 311 trillion. So that Earth year, so if he was half, he'd be what, 150, 155 trillion years old. This is Lord Brahma. So, you get things in perspective a little bit here. You know, we're all thinking we're so important in living entities and everything revolves around us and the whole universe revolves around us and our little minds and our little bodies and our little lives. Of course, you know, to us, when we're absorbed, we're totally absorbed. But so is the little ant. And the little ant is thinking, my life is very important. And a little bee, a little bird. But now the thing is that in Maya, some living entities are thinking they're more important than other living entities. But actually, we're all spirit souls, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when you're a Brahma, you may think, I am very, very important. You know that story of Lord Ram when he chastised Hanuman, and Lord Ram, when the monkeys were assisting Lord Ram in building the bridge to Lanka, Hanuman was throwing in the big boulders, and a little spider was kicking a little bit of dust in. So every time Hanuman went to get a big boulder to throw in the ocean, he had to walk around. He didn't want to step on the spider, so it was a little bit of an inconvenience for Hanuman. So he told the spider, why don't you just move out of the side, you're only doing a little bit, let me throw my boulders in. Well, Lord Ram trying to chastise him. No, he is doing service also up to his capacity. You're doing to your capacity and he is doing to his capacity. So the body sees like that, and really advanced the body sees that everyone else is doing much more service than I am. The neophyte devotee thinks that they're not doing any service. No one's doing any service, man. I'm doing all the service. No one's doing anything. And this is advanced devotee. But you know, even if one is not doing a lot of, but you know, advanced devotee sees a lot of service. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to praise, especially for going and distributing books. He used to praise, if someone did one book or one magazine, he would praise that brahmachari. Oh, you are so nice. You've gone and sold one magazine, one book. You are such a nice devotee. You've done such nice service. But, you know, generally in the beginning, the neophyte stages, we be a little bit proud. This is an anatta, actually, described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In his Madhurya Kandamini, he says, yes, so we've come in the beginning, we've learned to chant, we've learned to do a few things, and you get puffed up. Oh, I'm a very good devotee. Let's look at my service. Now look at that. They're not doing much. Look at my service. I'm doing so much. And look at the quality of my service. And look at the quantity of it. Look at the quality of it and look at the quantity of my service. But the advanced devotee saying, I'm not got very good quality, so I'm not doing much. Look at the others. They're doing so much. And this is advanced devotee. So it's a kind of reverse. It's a reverse mentality, isn't it? You know, now the living entities in Maya with different bodies, of course, are thinking, you know, I just was describing how a devotee can think. What to speak of the materialists. But to speak of the karmis, they're thinking my body is better, my mind is better than yours, my intellect is better than yours. You know, the humans are thinking, you know, we're more important than the animals, the different species. You know, even your so-called Christians, some of them espouse this type of philosophy. Oh, the humans, they got human souls, and the animals, they got animal souls. Some say they have no soul, but some say they have animal souls. Yeah, you didn't know that, huh? Some say like that. They have animal souls. But and the animal souls aren't as important as the human souls. So therefore we can kill them and do whatever we want with them. I mean, and we're more important. Certainly in one sense human life is more important to understand Krishna. It's more important in that way, but not to lord it over and exploit and abuse. So this is Maya, that one living species is thinking better than another. Anyway, here in this verse we get a bit of a perspective. The ant thinks he's living for a long time. Mosquitoes only live for like how long? How long do mosquitoes live? Do you know how long a mosquito lives, Kalindi? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Something like that. Matter of weeks, isn't it? 6 weeks maybe, something like that. So the mosquito lives. The mosquito thinks, I've got a very long life. Some bugs are born in the morning and dead in the evening. That's their life, whole life. And we're thinking we're a long life. But here we see the Manus. And they're thinking long life. Then Manus compared to Brahma. I mean, even great demigods compared to Brahma. I mean, all of them come and go in just a day of Brahma. So different pious living entities, except the posts of various demigods. We were talking about avatars. Avatars. Did we mention all the avatars now? The Purusha avatars. Did we say the Purusha avatars? The different Vishnu. And the Vishnu avatars, the Mahavishnu, and the Gavaraksha Vishnu. These are other types of avatars. So now, as I was saying, that the Vaivishvata Manu and Sharadev, one of the sons of Yudhishthira, he is the Manu. And the next, and also the Indra is Purandara. In the next Manu, and it said Bali Maharaj will be Indra. He'll be Indra. We read about the story of Bali Maharaj, how he was the head of the Asuras who were against Indra. They were against Indra. So what happened? What was the story of Bali Maharaj? How did he happen to be against Indra, and what happened to Bali Maharaj? Who knows the story? You know the story of Bali Maharaj? No? Libby again? Wants us to tell us a little bit about that. Who was the incarnation of Krishna who came and had a lila with Bali Maharaj? You know? Lord Vamanadev. And why did Lord Vamanadev come? Anyone? Kendra?
To perform his pastime.
That's an easy way out, isn't it? Right? Why did Lord Bhavan again?
Taken over all the hidden planets after Lord Indra kicked out Lord Indra from his abode.
The Asuras. The Asuras, who were in battle with, headed by Bali Maharaj, who were in battle with the Devas, had somehow or other gained possession of all the heavenly planets. So the Devas, of course, prayed to, went to Brahma, and then Brahma prayed to the Supreme Lord, and the Lord said, "Yes, I will come and rectify the situation." Actually, when you think about it, Vishnu has to come many times to rectify the situation. It's not at all a peaceful, although there's arrangement to this world, it's not at all peaceful, even in the heavenly planets. So Lord Vamanadev came. And who did Lord Vamanadev appear to? As the son of?
Aditi.
Anyone remember? Aditi, yes. Kashyapa Muni and Aditi. So, Lord Vamana, he came like that, and he was, in what form did he come? Described as a dwarf, he's a brahmachari. It's more brahmachari. And he came and he went to see Bali and begged from him some charity. And what did Lord Vamana ask for? Chris?
Three steps of land.
He just wanted 3 steps. Bali Maharaj said, no, he was very inclined. His sister was also wanted to give him so much. He said, no, take more, just 3 steps. How much can you take with 3 steps? Can't walk very far with 3 steps. I remember we used to do this play in Sydney many years ago, in the Lord Barman, and big steps, big things. one step he took, I forget which sequence it was. Was it the lower plantar systems first or the higher plantar systems? Was it? Which direction did he go in first? Anyone remember? The lower plantar systems. So all the lower plantar systems. Right down, he took his first step. And then with his second step, he took the higher plantar systems. So much so, and what happened with his toe? He took such a big step, his toe went through the universe. And the Karanajal, the water of the Karanajal came in and bathed his feet and became known as the Ganga. And then what did he do with his third step? Actually, that was the question Lord Mamanadev asked Bali Maharaj. You've allowed me 3 steps, I've only taken 2, but there's nowhere else. What will I do with my 3rd step? But what did Bali Maharaj say? He bowed down. But he put it on my head, I surrender. So, Bali Maharaj did like that, and Lord Vamanadev had Bali Maharaj tied up, threw him in a cave, lost everything. But actually, Lord Vamana was so happy with Bali for surrendering and that he awarded him his own planetary system, and that planetary system is known as the Sutala, the lower planetary system, where there were riches, and Lord Vamanadeva himself stands there as a guard on his gate. One time Ravana came there to see Bali Maharaj, and it said that in the Bhagavatam it's mentioned that Lord just with his toe kicked him many thousands of miles away. Ravana, who defeated all the demigods, the Lord just kicked him with his toe, get away from this place. So Bali Maharaj is still there now in Sutala, and in the next after this Vaibhishvata Manu, then Bali Maharaj will come in the next Manu, and he will be the Indra. He will be the Indra. But there's many millions of years to go yet. We won't be around in these present bodies. Hopefully we won't be around at all. We'll go back home, back there. We'll be with Krishna in the spiritual. We won't have to worry about Manus and demigods, Manvantara and all this type of things. We will just be in the spirit. Unless Krishna wants us to come back again and do some preaching. We won't have to worry about any of those types of things. But as long as we're in the material world, we have to understand these things. See things in perspective. Understand who are the Manus, who are the Manvanta avatar, who are the different types of avatar. We have to understand. Because we're in ignorance. We don't know. We're just absorbed in all the names and designations of the material activities. Positions. You want to know about positions? Know about positions of Krishna. Who's in charge there now? Who's in charge there? Isn't it sometimes people ask? Instead of asking like that, you can just ask, oh, which incarnation is coming now? Who's going to be the next one? So you can ask like that. And then you'll be benefited by those questions and that understanding. So this is the story of Bali Maharaj. And Prabhupada says here that Manushyanam Sahasri Shu, it appeared that Bali Maharaj lost everything. But actually he gained everything. He actually attained perfection because his perfection was surrender to Krishna. It's very rare to get that type of perfection. Full surrender to Krishna, full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore Prabhupada quotes this verse here from Bhagavad Gita. Manushyanam Sahasri Shu Kashti Jaladishidaya. out of many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. Most people are not interested at all in a spiritual life. So many millions and millions and millions. It's like I was saying yesterday at this Sunday Feast program. Quoting from Prabhupada, where he said like that. The reporter asked him the question, "Your movement is growing very rapidly." And Prabhupada interjected. He said, "No, it's growing, but slowly, because not so many are serious. There's not so many serious people, those who are actually very serious." I was just in Adelaide, and I saw him showing me one leaflet. The Hugging Ma. The Hugging Ma came there. Did she come here also? She's known as the Hugging Ma. She's a big guru. Her name is Amritanandamayi Devi. Amritanandamayi Ma. Anyway, she comes and they have big programs. Many thousands come. And they chant Om, and they chant all mantras, and they have bhajan, they have kirtan, all these things. And then everyone lines up, and she gives them a hug. People line up into the street. Yesterday they wait in the queue. They file through, and they get a hug from the ma. They get the blessing. They're getting all the blessings. So many thousands like that. So they'll go and see the Hugging Ma on Sunday night, and then the next night they go to the restaurant, and the next night they go to the movies, the next night they go to the gym, the next night they go play tennis, and next few months later they go and see the Ma again, and then the next night they'll go do this. So it's just an extension of their sense gratification. There's nothing really that serious. Maybe there's some amongst them, but who are more serious, but generally it's like that. People just want something. They really don't want, you know, they don't want to change their lives that much. They just want to continue their lives and have a little bit of an esoteric extension. A little bit of esoteric, more subtle extension of sense gratification. Now this is the position. But those who are interested in changing their lives to genuine spirituality, they're very, very rare. Therefore, it said, Manushya Nasasa is huge. Very, very rare. Out of many millions, one may attempt it. Just like we see, so many have come to Krishna consciousness, attempted to be a devotee, but then go away again. Not to be seen for many, many years. How many, especially those of us who have been around many years, have seen so many come, so many go. They've attempted. And they're one out of millions. Or even attempted, and then one who has actually achieved the perfection. Therefore, Prabhupada said to be Vaishnava, that is not such a cheap thing to be Vaishnava. Vaishnava, that is not cheap. You have to be a bit serious. So those of us who are living in the ashram, in the community of Vaishnavas. We have to be serious in order to make advancement. Otherwise, one can go along and get the hug from the Hugging Ma and feel good for that night or something. If you want to feel good for eternity, then you have to take up something a bit seriously and follow some discipline. Follow some. Prabhupada said to that reporter, "So we have principles, and in the Kali Yuga, people are not so much interested in following any principles. They just like to do whatever they like. And still think that they're, on the mental level, they're thinking that, I'm a very spiritual person." But actual spirituality is far, far beyond all that. It's far, far beyond all that. And it takes some endeavor, some sacrifice, some surrender to actually attain it. Even when you make an attempt, you still are very. There's another verse similar to this, I think, by Rupa Goswami. So that even amongst those who become devotees, very rare one becomes pure devotee. High level devotee. In this material world.
Still, what does that mean?
Ah, what's the use? Give up. No one can do it. Why should I even try?
No. The mercy coming from the Lord is unlimited, especially Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda.
Actually, Tamar Krishnamaraj was telling me, when I was there in Mayapur, he was telling a story in Bombay about the some devotees who were nonsense, and he was saying to Prabhupada, you think there has to be a point, Prabhupada, where we just can't tolerate. We should just throw them away from Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, no, Lord Nityananda's mercy is unlimited. And he was explaining that maybe living in the ashram is not meant for them. But as far as engaging them in Krishna consciousness, he says, you do not understand. Lord Nityananda's mercy is unlimited. There is no end to Lord Nityananda's mercy. So, someone may be performing nonsense activities, but they should never be stopped from continuing in Krishna consciousness. Maybe they're not they shouldn't live in the temple, or in the temple there are certain standards and so on and so forth, but as far as engaging Krishna consciousness, you should never they always have the opportunity to engage in Krishna consciousness. That's Lord Nityananda's mercy. Alright, does anyone have any question or comment? Yeah.
I was reading on the internet last night, now you're saying about a cycle of the ages. Not really the style of the original because of the Big Bang theory. And now, we've changed their minds and they've never mentioned Hindu belief. They've gone to a cyclic, like the universe, expanding and contracting concept, where the Big Bang is just an expanding idea.
So this is like Bhakti Suddhamana, goes to many conferences, organized kind of the synthesis of the science and the religion coming together. The scientists go up to the topmost and they'll realize actually how it comes from God.
Sort of a similar point with a whole debate going on in England. He's on a college that's in their science lessons, they're teaching creationism. Very well respected college, Ignatius College.
What, the Christian version?
Christian creationism. But there's so much debate from scientists saying that this isn't scientific, this is just myth, the Big Bang theory is, etc.
Even the title of it does.
So it seems like the debate always, they just talk about Christian creationism. Mm. You know, that's where the debate ends.
Mm. Yeah, what about other? Mm. Actually, there's a nice, you may have seen that, video, it's a CD by Sadaputa, the Vedic cosmology, right? You seen that? Vedic cosmology. The next one he's working on the all the different cultures and the ancient cultures and their similarities and where they've derived their knowledge from in history. He kind of touches on it in that Vedic cosmology. He talks about, I think, the Incas and the Mayan, and he talks about Norse and all the European ancient civilizations, how they talk about the tree of life and all this type of thing, and where they get that information from. So he's working on that now. He's going to put out another CD describing all this and the theory of how, or the understanding of how everything comes about according to the Vedic. How everything comes about through Vedic understanding. So that synthesis of the religion and all the ancient texts, and then many of the scientists these days are kind of a bit open to that type of thing.
The biggest problem that scientists have with Christian creation is the Bible presents. It's only 6,000 years
ago. Mm.
And I think Prabhupada commented on one sign somewhere, Prabhupada said this just practical observation, you know, you see all the different layers of the earth, etc.
Mm.
You can understand it's been longer than 6,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just a layman can understand that.
Mm. Yeah, it's a deep discussion.
Mm.
Yes, maybe.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you start again? When something?
What is the best way?
Oh, what is the best way? Yes.
To answer.
Damn. Well, no, we just brought that up. Our policy is that ISKCON can have, and our Sampradaya has. We're just waiting for someone to come forward, take it up. Actually, we had a discussion about it this year, and because we were discussing gurus and ISKCON and so on and so forth amongst the GBC, and our policy is. I don't know if it was stated in our resolution, but anyway, we discussed it, and our policy is, isn't it, that any female can be a guru. That someone has to be qualified.
You're saying that part of the Sampradaya is female spiritual masters. Can you elaborate on any? Jagannath
Mata was a guru.
Jagannath
Mata, Nityananda was a guru. And so she had many disciples, actually. They're not so common, you know, because the women are a little bit shy and they wouldn't want to come forward like that, but. They are there.
Ganga Mata,
yeah, Goswamini, yeah, she was a guru. Yeah, I can't remember. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Who else? Oh, yeah. Well, in Vedic society, you know, in the past, you know, the women would be shy and they wouldn't want to come forward like that. But, you know, some great Mahabhagavat level of, you know, or Jagannatha. All these, you know, these are like expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, but our ISKCON policy is like that anyway. Any other question?
Jai Vaishnava Prabhupada ki.